ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 12 चैप्टर 12 एंटाइटल द टॉपिक्स ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम समराइज्ड टेक्स्ट नंबर 14 एंड 15। नवब्रह्म समुत्पत्ति दक्ष यज्ञ विनाशनम् ध्रुवस्य चरितं पश्चात् प्रीतो प्राचीनि बर्हिशः नारदस्य च संवादः ततः प्रयव्रतं द्विजा नावेस्ततोऽनुचरितम् ऋषभस्य भरतस्य च। नवब्रह्म ऑफ द नाइन ब्राह्मणस द सन्स ऑफ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा हेडेड बाय मरीचि समुत्पत्ति ही द डिसेंडेंट्स दक्ष यज्ञ ऑफ द सैक्रिफाइस परफॉर्म बाय दक्ष विनाशनम द डिस्ट्रक्शन ध्रुवस्य ऑफ ध्रुव महाराज चरितम द हिस्ट्री पश्चात देन प्रीतो ऑफ किंग प्रिथु प्राचीनी बर्हिशः ऑफ प्राचीनी बर्हि नारदस्य विद नारद मुनि च एंड संवादः हिज कॉन्वर्सेशन ततः देन प्रयवर्तम द स्टोरी ऑफ महाराज प्रियव्रत। द्विजा ओ ब्राह्मणस नाभे ऑफ नाभि ततः देन अनुचरितम द लाइफ स्टोरी ऋषभस्य ऑफ लॉर्ड ऋषभ भरतस्य ऑफ भरत महाराज च एंड Translation by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Also described are the progeny of the nine great brahmanas, the destruction of Daksha's sacrifice and the history of Dhruva Maharaj, followed by the histories of King Prithu and King Prachini Barhi, the discussion between Prachini Barhi and Narada and the life of Maharaj Priyavrata. Then, O brahmanas, the Bhagavatam tells of the character and activities of King Nabhi, Lord Rishabha and King Bharata. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी आर हेयर टुवर्ड्स द एंड ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड लास्ट चैप्टर एंड हेयर वी हैव the summary of whole Bhagavatam. So it's actually an expert teacher. He's very competent in the whole subject matter. If there is a vast literature such as Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scripture or any other study, if there's lot involved. So a teacher, an expert teacher is actually, he presents the whole thing very systematically in various chapters, various sections like that. And then in the beginning or in the end, there's a summary also described. So here we see the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is so systematically organized. So just before the end, here Suta Goswami is describing what happened in the previous cantos and previous sections. So it's just to refresh our memory. So although we hear and read Srimad Bhagavatam and chant Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's so vast we tend to forget different pastimes. So that's why here again there's a brief discussion of pastimes. So whole Srimad Bhagavatam is it's totally transcendental and it's arranged in a very systematic fashion so as to raise our consciousness gradually like that. So if we just read it very attentively and submissively, so these are the two very important factors. How to read Srimad Bhagavatam? Attentively and submissively. So and that's given in the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam as it starts. श्रीमद् भागवत धर्म प्रोजित कैतवत्र परमो निर्मत सनानाम सताम वेद्यम वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम ताप क्रयोन्मूलनम श्रीमद् भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वपरय ईश्वर सद्यो हृदय अवरुद्यते शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणा। सो शुश्रूषुभिः मीन्स यू आर वेरी ईगर टू हियर एंड यू आर सबमिसिव एंड वेरी अटेंटिव। सो देन व्हाट हैपेंस if these two qualities are present, so one question is, as we mentioned that, oh, gradually your consciousness is elevated, but actually it's up to us. It can be very fast. So it's not that okay, Srimad Bhagavatam, it would to raise my consciousness by this whole process of bhakti, it would take so many years, it's a long process, long journey. No, it's up to us. It can be very short. And the proof is given just in here, the second verse of Bhagavatam. It says, Shushushubhis Tat Shanat. Tat means that Shanat, means that moment, at that moment. So if you are attentive and submissive, at that moment, you get the benefit. You don't have to wait. We just have to wait actually, not for Krishna's mercy. We have to wait for so long actually for ourselves. It takes long to become submissive and attentive. So Bhagavatam promise is there itself in the beginning. If you have these simple qualities, if you are simple, so it's very simple for the simple people. So tat shanat, at that moment you'll get enlightenment. But anyway, generally for everyone, it's organized in a very great fashion. Slowly it elevates your consciousness in different cantos. So there is a very nice description that how these different cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are compared to different parts of Krishna's body. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is actually non-different from Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna himself and Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Krishna is absolute, so anything which relates to Krishna is also Krishna. With us it's not possible. Anything that relates to us, that belongs to us, that's not exactly us. We are separate from that thing that relates to us. But here, Bhagavatam means that which pertains, that which relates to Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also, this is like a literary incarnation of Krishna. So there's a description, different cantos relate to, can be said as different, said, can correlate to different bodily limbs of Krishna. So first two cantos are Padpadma, they are just like the lotus feet of Krishna. The third and fourth canto, they are the thighs of Krishna. And fifth canto is the waist of Krishna. Sixth canto is the chest of Krishna. Seventh and eighth cantos are the two arms of Krishna. Ninth canto is the neck of Krishna. The tenth canto is the smile, the beautiful smiling face of Krishna. And 11th canto is forehead of Krishna, and 12th canto, which we are reading now, it's like the crown of Krishna. So we see how we proceed from the lotus feet, we go slowly up. So that's the way we actually, we should take darshan of the deities as well. So we look at the feet first, and then slowly we raise our vision upwards. So that's the way, it's given in second canto, that this is the way we should take darshan of Krishna and any other respectable personality as well. All pure devotees, they are serving Krishna, they are representative of Krishna. So when we take darshan of respectable personalities, we follow the same fashion. We see at the lotus feet first and raise our vision. We don't just stare at the face of a respectable personality and say, oh, I'm your humble servant, you know. That's not humble. Humble way is to look at the feet first and then slowly raise the vision if required. Like that. So this is the beautiful arrangement this whole Srimad Bhagavatam is presented. Now here in this chapter, as Suta Goswami starts his summary description of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he follows the same fashion. So he starts his, in these previous verses, he starts from first canto, second canto, like that. And till yesterday we read till the story of the Devahuti, Kapila Muni and Devahuti, that's the end of third canto. So these two verses today, they describe the fourth canto and almost half of the fifth canto. So that's the discussion topic today. So we'll just discuss some pastimes described in fourth canto and fifth canto in the beginning. So it's just to refresh our memory, and they are so nectarian, we can always learn from them and relish them, and in that way actually serve the Lord. So Lord is very pleased if we hear about His glories like that, because that's our eternal position. And when we are established in our eternal position, Krishna is very happy. So that's why this is like a service. This is a service we do by hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's our eternal service. So at the moment we are not used to it. So more we get used to it, we are established in our eternal service. So this is the means and this is the end. So what happens by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? We hear more Bhagavatam, like that. We get taste in it. And then we describe more and we meditate on it, like that. So here we have, it starts to, these two verses starts, there is a description of Daksha's sacrifice, the destruction of Daksha's sacrifice. So first few chapters of fourth canto, there is this description of Daksha Yagya. So that's very, very interesting pastime, very dramatic, action packed. As this, sometimes there are trailers of movies or the you know, the billboards. Here you don't see that much, but in India if you go, it's everywhere, big billboards, and on the road, in the middle of road there are these poles on which there is all these lights, street lights, and on each pole there is a movie poster. You could see that. So, and then there's this, so they present the movie as, oh, this is a thriller, like that. So you, to have our interest. So same with actually, and they are just pretty much stale topics, you know, just eating, sleeping, mating, defending, nothing else. But these are real thrillers, these stories of Bhagavatam. So here if you see this Daksha Yagya is like a really amazing pastime. So Daksha is one of the Prajapatis or progenitors of mankind. So he was given this responsibility to populate the whole planet, whole universe. So then he got puffed up by his position. He was very beautiful. And Daksha, the word itself means expert, expert in sense gratification actually. So then there was this meeting going on of all the great managers of the whole universe, sages, philosophers. They were assembled at one place and it was headed by the chief living entity of the universe, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva was also there. So Lord Shiva is incidentally the son-in-law of Daksha. So Daksha's wife Sati was married to Lord Shiva, so he was also present. So when he entered this assembly, so he was like one of the chief progenitors, chief prajapatis. So he had so much pride. If you have a big position, it's very natural to, you know, because everyone is praising, oh, he's at that position. So he had this pride, like that. So when he entered, and his bodily features were like glowing like anything. And when he entered that assembly, everyone stood up. Just by seeing him, you could see, oh, there's a big personality who has entered this assembly. Everyone stood up in respect, apart from Lord Brahma, who is, of course, the chief living entity. And even Lord Shiva did not get up, because he is ultimately Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, is topmost devotee. So what happened? He was offended, because he was so proud, Daksha, that he said, oh, why did he, okay, he respected Brahma, he said, okay, you know, I should give respect to Brahma, but why didn't Lord Shiva get up? He is my son-in-law, he is my junior, but actually Lord Shiva is very senior in position to Daksha. So he was offended and then he insulted him that, oh, I have given my daughter to such a person, and he said many things. But he didn't speak anything and he left. And then later, Daksha, the Daksha Yagya that's described here, he organized one big sacrifice. And there he invited everyone. And big ceremony was going to take place. So there, then, his daughter, Sati, she wanted to attend that, oh, everyone would be there. If there's a big ceremony in a family, so everyone likes to go there. So Sati also wanted to go. All the sisters would come and my mother would be there. I want to go. So she started persuading Lord Shiva to come. You also come. But he wasn't invited there. So he said, no, I wouldn't go. But anyway, in anger, she left without him. She went for the to the sacrifice. But when she reached the place, she was not very, she was not even greeted by her father. He just neglected her, just because she was wife of Lord Shiva now. And when she saw there was no sitting place and no oblations and there was no invitation for her husband, so she became very angry. And then what she said to her father that, oh, this body is given to me by you, this belongs to you. Of course this body comes from her mother and father. So she says, this body comes from you, I don't want to have any relation with you, I'll burn this body. So to that extent. So she was so angry, so she put flames to her body. And then further this pastime, how she came back again as daughter of the mountains. Of course she is a great personality, Durga Devi, Parvati. So It's just for the pastime. So then assistants and disciples of Lord Shiva, they just destroyed the whole place of, in anger, they destroyed the place of sacrifice. So whole, there is a very big pastime. So things to learn from there is that we should be very careful not to disrespect such a great personality. We should be very careful in the presence of great personalities. So here we see there are many senior devotees who are here or who visit, sannyasis, Prabhupada disciples, senior devotees. So we should be very careful in their presence. So how to be careful is, so generally to respect everyone. If you give respect to everyone, so then there is no chance that you will make mistake. So the third verse of Shikshashtak is, which teaches us humility. Yeah. Trinad api shunichena, taror api sarishuna, amanina manadena, kirtaneya sadahari. So there are four things to be learned there about humility. So first is, we should remain as humble as the blade of grass. So blade of grass, if you step on it, it just goes down. It doesn't resist. And we should be, second is, we should be as tolerant as the tree. Whatever happens, we'll just remain fixed in our devotional service. So that's another factor, another thing that relates to humility. And third thing is amanina. Amanina is, you don't want respect for yourself. You're not seeking praise like that. And fourth one is manadena, that you give all respects to others. And that's also, I mean, all are hard ones, but this is especially manadena, to give respects to others. Because if one is thinking that I am great, so we are actually hankering for praise. And in that state, it's very hard to give respects to others. So here we should learn that we should give respects to others. So in that way, we cannot offend anyone. So here, this whole Daksha Yajna, this destruction of Daksha sacrifice took place just because of this wrong step taken by Daksha. He offended a great personality. So if we have this mood of always giving respects to others, glorifying others, so then we cannot make this mistake of offending others. It's just opposite. It doesn't, you know, it's opposite. So if we do one, we cannot do the other. Like that. So that's one thing. So further, so that's the, we can learn from Daksha. Then further in fourth canto, there is the story of Dhruva Maharaj given. That's a very famous story. Dhruva Maharaj is, how old was Dhruva Maharaj?
5 years
old. But he was, the whole story is exemplary. People are still reading and learning from this 5 year old boy. So what he did was, after the whole incidents, he was insulted by his stepmother, and then he decided to go to the forest and look for Lord Narayan. And there he met Narad Muni, who instructed him, okay, you meditate in this way. And he did that. So the austerities that he did was really amazing. The penances he took place. He was just eating maybe for first 3 months. Every 2-3 weeks he would eat little bit, and then he stopped eating, then he stopped breathing, like that. So he became so powerful in few months that he controlled pretty much the whole universe. So when he stopped breathing, the living entities in whole universe, they were feeling suffocated. So they approached Lord Brahma for help. And then finally, what happened is, Supreme Personality himself gave darshan to Dhruva Maharaj. So when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in front of him, he was just 5 years old and he was inexperienced. So he was purified. He did all those austerities and penances just to have a kingdom greater than his father. But when he saw the Supreme Lord, he was purified. He didn't want anything. And he wanted to offer prayers to Lord. But because he was so young, he couldn't say very good prayers at that time. So then what happened? Lord put his conch shell on Dhruva's head. And then he got all the realization, and then he offered beautiful prayers like that. So there Srila Prabhupada mentions in purport that to get this realization, he was just 5 years old boy. It's not required to go to school and have big degrees to have the spiritual enlightenment. The only thing required is to have faith in Guru's orders and Krishna's orders and follow them very nicely. So he was a simple boy. He just wanted to a kingdom bigger than God, and then there he somehow met, by causeless mercy, he met Narad Muni, and he followed his instructions very nicely. And just because he had so much faith in the order of his guru, he could see Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he got full realization, and he could recite such beautiful prayers after that. So these are the things to be learned from Dhruva Maharaj. It's about determination, that we should be determined to follow our spiritual master's order. And the most important order that spiritual master gives is to chant 16 rounds attentively and offenselessly. So that's the most important. If we do that, we will naturally follow all other orders as well. Like that. So further, we see in fourth canto, there is a description of Maharaj Prithu as well. So Prithu Maharaj was another exemplary king who was ready to provide everything for his citizens. So as a leader, we should be very sensitive towards the needs of our dependents. Like that. Whoever is a leader, he should be very sensitive and he should provide that. So Prithu Maharaj saw that the earth was not providing enough foodstuffs, grains for the citizens. So what he said, okay, I'll kill earth. He was so determined that earth is not providing, I'll kill earth. So now then earth became very afraid, and then in the form of cow she said, okay, I'll provide everything. So that's the example. He was ready to do anything in order to provide for his dependents like that. And then he performed, there's a big discussion how he performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, and at the 100th Ashwamedha Yajna, Indra became very afraid that he may take his position, so he stole the horse of that sacrifice. Like that, there is a whole pastime there. And then further we have this discussion of Narada and Prachini Bari, and the famous allegory is given of Puranjana. Puranjana used to live in the city of 9 gates, which is, as Bhagavad Gita says, Navdware Pure Dehi Naivan Kurvanna Karyan. So this city of 9 gates is our body, and the living entity, which is us, we are living in this city of 9 gates. So there is very interesting and dramatic story how King Puranjana, his city was attacked by time. So that's what's going to happen with us, which is happening actually at each moment. We are affected by time. This whole, we are aging. So there are 6 transformations that the body goes through. It takes birth, it grows, it stays for some time, it produces byproducts, it dwindles and it vanishes. So at each moment, we are affected by time. We should be very, so these stories are given so that we learn. In Bhagavad Gita, Very simply, it's mentioned, okay, you're not the body or the soul. But here, there's a whole story given. Okay, how this city, there's a city of nine gates. Very nice allegory. And then there's one guard who guards the city. It's like a five-hooded snake who guards the city. And what's that? These are the five ears within the body. So he tried to fight this time. But ultimately the city was destroyed in the battle. So that's what's going to happen. Ultimately, body is going to go. So the spirit soul, it's just another example is of a bird on a tree. So the soul is just like the bird on the tree. So when the tree is cut, bird just flies off to another tree. He doesn't just sit there and cries, tree is cut. No, next tree, like that. Make your nest on the next tree. So same way. If we are careful in this life, this life is just like a preparation and death is like examination. So if we prepare very well, we understand, this is a city of nine gates, it's being attacked. So what to do? We should become expert military men and women. So we should protect our ultimate destination. We should arrange for our ultimate destination. If we are in a city, for example, we are in this Melbourne, if it's attacked, or there's earthquakes or some disasters, tsunamis, so we just go somewhere else, to a better destination, to a safe place, away, if there is the sea is flooding and, it's just one block away. If the, water level rises a little bit, in future it may happen. Mm-hmm. So we just go somewhere else. So same way, in this body, this city is being attacked. So we just arrange beforehand. It's not that we wait, okay. But we arrange a suitable destination. What Bhagavad Gita says, by actually daily hearing this Bhagavad Katha, we are arranging our new destination. By daily hearing Bhagavad Katha, we are arranging our safe destination. Janma karma chame divyam evam yogeti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sojan. So if one who understands this transcendental nature of Krishna's activities and his birth, then he never takes his birth again in this world. But he comes to my eternal abode. That's Krishna's promise. So but what's happening, if you see, those who don't have this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, their situation is just like in Melbourne, for example, there's flood, so they go to another place where there's a volcano is erupting. That's very silly. That's very unintelligent thing to do, right? If there's earthquake at one place, you go somewhere else where there's volcano eruptions. No, you go to a safe place, which is your natural, stable place. And that's spiritual world. So that's what we do. By continuously hearing this, we are going towards our ultimate destination. Like that. Then further, so there's fourth canto ends with these stories. And then further in fifth canto, we start with the description of Maharaj Priyavrata. And then further Maharaj Rishabh. There are teachings of Rishabh Maharaj to his sons. So, and there's in fourth and fifth canto, there's whole genealogical table given. So Lord Brahma, he had his son Swayambhuva Manu. So Swayambhuva Manu had two sons, Priyavrata and Uttanapad. So Dhruva Maharaj comes in Uttanapad Maharaj's genealogy, and then King Priyavrata, his descendants are discussed in fifth canto. So Maharaj Priyavrata, there is another very interesting description. He was another exemplary king. So what he did was, he said, it's not enough, this sun gives light only during the day, and at night there is no light. So I'll create another sun, so that there is light all the time. So on he rode his chariot and he created another sun. So there was light throughout. And then he also created seven islands with the wheels of his chariot and seven oceans. So that was the power. And today's leaders or political leaders or so-called kings, they can't even control this small planet like that. So we don't want to put our faith on these type of political leaders. We take put faith on these types of kings. So how to put faith? Just by hearing about them. So we are spending our time this morning, or we could do anything. We could go and see news and see these political leaders and spend our time there. But no, we don't put our faith there. We put our faith in these kings. We hear about Prithu Maharaj, Maharaj Priyavrata in Srimad Bhagavatam class. So that's how actually we are taking this right decision. Like that. And further, Maharaj Priyavrata, I think his son was King Agnidra, and then his son was King Nabi. This verse says, Nabes tato nu charitam rishabhasya bharatasya cha. So Nabi is the grandson of Maharaj Priyavrata, and then his son was Rishabdev. Supreme Personality of Godhead himself agreed to become son of this qualified king. So that was the quality of these kings. Even Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came, he said, I'll become your son. So this Rishabdev, one of the incarnations of Lord. So Rishabdev's example is another, his teachings are very famous. So one teaching he gives, of course, first teaching he says, he perform austerities. This human life is meant for austerities. It's not just for eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The pleasure that you get from material activities, even dogs, hogs, they get that. So what's the use? In human life is meant for higher type of pleasure. So we should aspire for that. And how to do that? He says, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahus Vimuktes. Mahat Seva. By doing service to the great soul, Mahat, a very great advanced personality. By serving great devotees. What happens when you serve a great devotee? These dwaram vimukte, these doors of liberation open for you. Or the doors to go back to Godhead, they open. Just by serving these personalities, these great devotees. So it's very easy, we have opportunity. There are devotees all around us here in the temple. We can serve them. And especially if sincerely we serve the advanced devotees. We give respect to everyone, but with full heart we serve the spiritual master or any other advanced devotee. So that's what we do. And then by doing this, we get purity. So there is a description that we should aspire to get purified. Because if we are not purified, we cannot see Krishna. We cannot see, in one purport Prabhupada writes, without purity you cannot see the expansions of Krishna. So actually we are interested to see expansion of Krishna. So this Archa Vigra is Krishna himself, is Archa form. And then if you see this whole material world is another expansion of Krishna. There is this material energy is nothing but one of the energies or expansions of Krishna. Separated energy. So if we are pure, we can see Krishna everywhere, like that. So we should aspire to get purified. So how Krishna expands himself, there are so many pastimes given. In Rasa dance, how he was dancing with so many gopis. There are so many billions of gopis and he was dancing with each one of them. And then there are like in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, how when Brahma stole the cowherd boyfriends and cows, and then he expanded himself in so many forms. So when we chant Hare Krishna, it's like we are accessing, one of the expansions of Krishna. But if we are not purified enough, we are not aspiring to get purified, we cannot see that. It's like when we are chanting, so holy name is a person. So he is there, dancing on your tongue. So in this room, for example, all devotees are chanting. So Krishna expands himself. It's just like Rasa dance, when all the gopis are there and Krishna expands himself for each one of them. So here, when we chant, Krishna expands ourselves. It's not difficult for him. His Supreme Personality of Godhead. He expands himself for each one of us and he dances on our tongue. So we should be attentive enough to see him and be with him at that moment, at least. That's our personal time with Krishna. So we should be very attentive. When we call him, he is there. And he dances on our tongue. So we should be very attentive to build up our relationship with him. He's there for us. Like that. So for that we should aspire to get purified. Purified of what? Purified of the lower modes of nature. We should get rid of at least mode of ignorance and passion. And we should aspire to be more in mode of goodness. So mode of goodness means we are more organized, punctual, clean, all these things. So in our daily activities we should aspire to do this, all these activities. Our room is clean, locker is organized, our day is organized, we know what we are doing today. Like that. So if these things are there in our day to day life, so we are purifying ourselves of the lower modes. And then it becomes easy. We know when we are when we have to chant. That's why this whole system is there. Morning program is there. 2 hours are allocated. We know we have to chant at that time. So we are ready. Okay. I think as Kadamba Kanan Maharaj says, it's like appointment with Krishna. When you are chanting, it's like appointment. And when you have appointment, on the door you put "Do not disturb" sign. You know. That's it. I'm here with an important personality. Like that. So then what happens? Mind is like a child. He comes and disturbs. Oh, you know. He doesn't care who you are with. So it's like a child. Child doesn't understand, right? If there is a big personality in your home and you are talking, child would just come. So his mind is like that. It will just come. No shame. No shame, no respect. So what? How to deal with that? You have to say, no, not now. With firmness. No, not now. This is important meeting going on at the moment. Not now, later. So actually Chanakya Pandit, he says in his Niti Shastra that the son should be, you know, you should love your son very nicely till he's 5 years or 5 years of age. You don't say anything. Just, you know, provide everything. But from 6 years to 15 years, you should punish him if he does something wrong. Like that. And after 16 years of age, you become his friend. So this is the training actually in scriptures. It's given. This is how we should train the child. So what happens? It's not that, you know, 6 to 15, you just punish him, beat. No, it's not like that. So just to, for his growth, for its better future, you do that. So that's this injunction given there by Chanakya Pandit, and Prabhupada used to quote that, this particular one. So same is with the mind. So you have to punish it sometimes. No, not now. So we just don't say no, no to the mind, but what we do, we just don't deprive it of attention. We give higher things to it as well. So same with child, you just don't punish, you give him good gifts, or, you know, okay, now you're old enough, you take this bike, you know, like that. But if he does wrong, you punish him, like that. So same with the mind, you give him the higher taste. It's just trying to get the lower taste. You say no, not now, and give him the higher taste by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, attending kirtan, these such taking prasadam, such nice activities. You give higher taste to mind, better engagement. विषया भी निवर्तनते निराहार से देना रस वर्जम रसोप्य से परम दृष्टवा निवर्तते. सो दिस माइंड वॉन्ट्स टू बी एंगेज ऑल द टाइम. दैट्स द नेचर ऑफ सोल. इट वॉन्ट्स टू बी एंगेजमेंट. इट वॉन्ट्स एंजॉयमेंट. सो यू गिव सोल एंड माइंड द हायर एंगेजमेंट. सो दैट्स द वे. एंड वेन इट गोज टूवर्ड्स द लोअर थिंग्स यू से नो फर्मली लाइक दैट. So by following these simple injunctions and by hearing continuously about these great personalities and their glories, then we are purified and our mind becomes fixed at the lotus feet of Lord. The lotus feet of Lord basically means the service of Lord. When we are fixed at the lotus feet of Lord means we have taken shelter of lotus feet of Lord means we are fixed in our service to Lord. And it's very enjoyable. Lord's lotus feet as compared, you know, to as soft as lotus flower. And they're also compared to like the boat. You know, this ocean, this material nature is just like ocean of ignorance and we are drowning in it. But if we take shelter of lotus feet of Lord, then we can cross beyond it. Just like one can step over the water in the hoof print of calf. So this whole material and this ocean of material nature becomes like water in the calf's hoof print. It's very little. You just step over it. you don't care like that. So I'd like to end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yes, Prabhu.
You were mentioning that Prabhupada said that if we are not pure, we cannot see Krishna everywhere. Basically, purity is important. How to discover purity?
Can you repeat the question?
So, question is that we mentioned that we cannot see expansion of Krishna unless we are purified. So, how to get that purity? So the impurity which is present, we have to first identify that. And what is the impurity? Impurity is the false designation that we have. That we are the body, we are this, we are that. You know? We are Indian, we are man, like that. So these are the impurities. And how do we do that? Cheto darpan marjana. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirmapana. So these impurities are like the dust which have covered the mirror of our heart. So we can't see ourselves. We can't see ourselves, we can't see Krishna. What to speak of seeing Krishna's expansion? We can't see ourselves. Right? So we have to become pure in order to see ourselves and Krishna, both. Like that. So that happens by chanting attentively and offenselessly. So you should never jokingly or if speak about any devotee. If it's not our business, just don't worry about it. Be busy in our service like that, and chanting time we give full attention like that. Yes, Prabhu.
Bhakti sir, thank you very much for a wonderful class. As you said, we have to, as a Shakti told, human body is meant for austerity, and as you said also, surrender to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And Bhagavata mentioned also one more thing, that we have to bathe in the dust of the pure devotee to get complete liberation, purity. So this is another important aspect of Bhagavata. So Bhagavata gives full picture how we can get rid of all our anarthas and go back to the
I think Prahlad Maharaj says that, right?
Yeah.
Pad Rajo Bhishek, we should bathe ourselves in the dust of the feet of devotees. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes, please.
When I speak about purification, I was just wondering why sometimes even when we engage in devotional service, we tend to not want to get purified. So you run away from opportunities that will lead to some care and some care for Gopinath. So what is it actually that makes us not want to get purified?
Oh, it's just like, that we have to make our desire strong to be purified. So that's why when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and read it over and over and over again, we are attracted by the higher nature, and then we have to reach a point then when we say, no, that's enough is enough. Enough, you know, flirting with material energy. Now I just want Krishna. Like that. So in order to reach that level that we decide, no, nothing else, just Krishna, we have to have this very important thing which is called sincerity. That we sincerely, like a child, we know we are like Dhruva Maharaj. He knew he was not perfect, but he had this sincere approach that I want this, that's it. I know I don't have this quality, but I sincerely try my best. And then Krishna he's not impersonal. He is the supreme person. The person means he reciprocates. So if we show our sincerity, then he reciprocates. We can't on our endeavor, we cannot do it alone. So it's Krishna's mercy. Is that all right? Anything else? Yes. It's the thighs. Yes,
Prabhu. So you mentioned that by coming in class in the morning, we follow the system of chanting in the morning, and we know what we are doing today. But what about tomorrow? When people ask you what you are doing tomorrow, sometimes it's very hard to get that answer in my own mind that what I'm doing tomorrow.
That's why we say Nityam Bhagavat Sevya. So this morning program is 365 days. You say every day I do that, like that. As far as you can, as far as your schedule. I don't want you to be fanatic, but as far as possible, not only morning, you can hear Srimad Bhagavatam any time of the day. The best is you come here, you can hear in person, but if you are busy, you can have the lectures, you can still hear. So main thing is Nityam Bhagavatam. Nityam means always, every day. So somehow or the other, you make sure you have your quota of chanting, quota of hearing, reading, like that. So every day. So you know your life. Not only you know your next day, you know your whole year, you know your next life. You know all your future life, your eternal life. Means we are always doing these activities. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. That's what we are doing. That's our whole life. That's our future. Not only next day or today. Any other questions or comments?
On the same point, what Prabhu is asking, very relevant, and you answered nicely. Krishna says you have to stay beat your mind, choose, morning and evening, control the mind. Beat your mind. Mind is so difficult. Krishna also accepts the Madhvita. Very difficult to control, like controlling the wind. Krishna says you have to stay beat your mind, choose. So stubborn.
Okay, we'll end there. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanandi.